Let us pray together. Gracious Lord, this is the day that you have made. And gracious Lord, this is the day we've come here to worship. So touch all of us with your blessed presence, even as we seek to worship you in spirit and in truth. Be with us, Lord, we pray. Amen. Stand as we sing. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, dead, and buried.
The third day he rose from the dead.
He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Let the congregation be seated. I'd like for all the boys and girls to come forward at this time. Other boys and girls? Well, for our children's address today, and we may need some help from non-children, I would like for you all to do something. Today is Father's Day, right? And we have in this bag gifts for every man. For every man here, you don't have to be a father. Every man here. And I'm going to ask our lay leader to pass these out to each of you. And wherever you see a man sitting, would you give them one? All right? Yes. You have to give it away. Yeah, go find. See those people right there? They're men. Go find them. That's it. And give them that to them. And children, when you give those out, here's some more. Thank you. Give me two more. Find some men now. Good. This is just for you. Just for you. What gentleman does not have a candy bar? Who does not have one? Now, you've already eaten yours, Dan. You need another one. Keith, you have one, sir? Everybody back there? You have one? Well, I have one. Thank you. Give these to all the kids that gave them out. They belong to the kids. Mm-hmm.
Here, this is for you.
I gave Wayne one. I gave Wayne one. Oh, you have one here.
She wants to know if she can take one to her dad.
Oh, absolutely.
Did Wayne get one?
Yes, Wayne got one.
Okay.
Well, boys and girls, let's have a prayer together. Tommy, we want to thank you for assisting. We're going to talk to God now, okay? Dear God, thank you for Father's Day, and thank you for all the gentlemen in the church who are recognized this day. Bless all of us and help us remember that everyone is your child. Everyone belongs to the kingdom, and everyone is blessed by you, our Heavenly Father. Amen. Thank you, sir. Yes, okay. You have a list of prayer concerns in the bulletin on the very back page. Let's please remember these persons. Let's pray for them every day. Also, there may be others that we need to list in our church-wide prayer concerns. Yes, Keith? Keith's cousin. Five-time cancer survivor, now he's contracted it again. Let's remember his cousin. The Lord's using him as a witness, you can tell. Let's remember Glenn Long, especially. He's listed there. If you would, take the Ritual of Friendship pads, register your attendance, and include others that you'd like to have entered on the prayer list for next week. Now let us go to the Lord in prayer together. Shall we pray? Lord, it's summertime. Today's the day, but yet we've already been amazed at the warmth of the days. We've already been amazed at the beauty of the mornings, especially the early hours when it's cool. We continue to be amazed at how much you love and how much you care about all of us. You give us opportunities moment by moment to see your magnificence, your creative abilities. You give us moment by moment the realities that you have blessed us. You have blessed us by letting us be in one of the most beautiful parts of the world, East Tennessee. You have blessed us by giving us family and friends. You have blessed us with churches where we can come together and remember you in worship. We give you thanks for your holy Bible that you've given us throughout the generations of Christians. And we thank you for your revealed word as the Holy Spirit helps us as we read from that word, your holy Bible. And Lord, this day, as we praise your most holy name for being who you are, our Heavenly Father, we sadly must confess that we have not taken advantage of all the gifts you've given us. We've been tied up in what we want. We've been tied up in our own concerns. We have been tied down because we cannot lift our eyes to you, who would lift us from the morass of living in this realm. We confess to you that we've not read our scriptures as we ought. We confess to you that we've not remembered others, especially those less fortunate than we. We confess to you that we have been worried by all kinds of issues that give us cause and good cause for worry. Lord, there are all kinds of areas in the world where people are being abused, where they're being persecuted, and where they're being slaughtered. Lord, our airways are filled with reports in the far corners, far reaches of the globe of all kinds of really horrendous things that are happening, such as the slaughter of the Coptic Christians in Egypt, the slaughter of Sunni and Shiite among the Muslims. Lord, we know about the Russians and the Ukrainians, how terrible that is. But oftentimes, O Lord, we think about trouble as in a distant land. But this week has reminded us once again that we have terror, that we have evil, we have Satan that's broken loose, and we pray for the situation in Charleston and that dear and historic African-American church in the heart of the city. We pray for those victimized who've come to the church to worship, to Bible study, to a place of sanctuary and safe haven, and yet we're gunned down. This reminds us that horror and terror resides in our land too. We are recoiled. We are simply stunned and wonder what next, and wonder what we can do next, wonder what we can do to deal with the source of the problem. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for those victims' families. We pray for that church that has a historic emphasis for the African American, but also a very historic sense of tragedy. Well, this past week is not the first time that's happened in that church. Horror is horror. Terror is terror. Killing is killing. And Lord, you know that the adversary is alive and well throughout the globe. But we've come here because we know who the Savior is. We've come here to worship you, O God. We've come here to affirm our faith in Jesus, who is Lord and Master, who overcame violence and death with the resurrection on Easter. We are an Easter people, O Lord. Give us tools, give us words, give us witness that we can indeed overcome evil with goodness wherever we find it. So, Lord, we pray for leadership. We pray for politicians who have responsibilities. We pray for everyone who has influence upon people and their lives. And Lord, we pray for ourselves here at Rockwood United Methodist Church. For every one of us has what's called a stewardship of influence. Every one of us, O Lord, everyone touches people. People in our family, in our work, in our play, in our neighborhood, and may we be a creditable witness, a witness for good, a witness for reconciliation, a witness to the love of Jesus. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Jesus.
We come now to the time in our worship for the giving and receiving of tithes and offerings. Always remember that 10% is a tithe. Traditionally and biblically, it is God's. It's not ours. So God's tithe is what we return to Him. That's automatically His. If we want to have an offering to God, it's in the 11th percentile. So let's keep this in mind. Look at your economic situation, because God knows. He can look at economics. He's a good CPA. Look and see where we are, all of us, in our 10%. And are we giving back to God what is His? Or do we fudge and give what's left? That makes a difference when the Lord looks at us. And I also wonder if it makes a difference when we pray. I wonder, says, well, you're not really sincere, are you people? Because you're giving 2% when I want 10%, but yet you want me here right now, if not now, yesterday. So let's keep accountability here. I hope God is more grace than judge, you know. But at the same time, let's take our giving seriously. And at the same time, I want to thank you for being so serious. Look at your statistics sometimes. You, my dear friends, are doing very well. Keep it up. We can always do better. Ushers, come forward. Accept, O Lord, this tithe, your tithe and this offering. Thank you for opportunities to earn money and for the joy of spending it. And thank you for letting us enjoy giving back to you what is your own, and also our offering above that as well. Use this money to further your work throughout this church's mission, and ministry in the world. Amen. Be seated. Scripture for Father's Day today is found in Luke's Gospel from chapter number 11, beginning with verse number 1 and then reading through verse 13. So let us hear the word of the Lord. He was praying in a certain place, And after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived and I have nothing to set before him. He answers from within, do not bother me. The door's already been locked and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So, I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks, receives, and everyone who searches, finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, would give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Amen. And here ends this reading from God's most holy word. Let us bow in prayer. O Lord, be present with us during the preaching and the hearing of this sermon. And may your word for our time and the days in which we live be heard among these words and our reflections. Amen. Father's Day, third Sunday of June. Back in 1910, July the 19th to be precise, the governor of the state of Washington proclaimed the nation's first Father's Day. But it was not until 1972, 58 years after President Woodrow Wilson made Mother's Day an official day in the National Registry of Holidays, did Father's Day become a national holiday. President Coolidge, back in the 20s, urged state governments to observe Father's Day. However, many men continued to disdain the day. As one historian wrote, men scoffed at the holiday's sentimental attempts to domesticate manliness with flowers and gift-giving. Or they derided the proliferation of such a holiday as a commercial gimmick to sell more products, often paid for by the father himself. The campaign to celebrate the nation's fathers did not meet with the same enthusiasm. Perhaps, as one florist explained, fathers haven't the same sentimental appeal that mothers have. So here we are, Father's Day, third Sunday of June, and it's kind of here. There's been some advertisements, certainly some nice cards, and some wonderful gifts. But that's about it for us fathers. But that's okay. That's all right. We've still got plenty to do as fathers, mothers, daughters, and sons. Father's Day is a cultural holiday. And we remember Father's Day in our liturgies, in our prayers, with our music, and certainly with sermons. I'll have to tell you this is quite different, a quite different approach from the approach 50 years ago that I noticed when I first entered the ministry. Nowadays, I do all I can to encourage the cultural things that go outside the church, encourage them within the church. Back 50 years ago, let's separate the church from the kingdom of God. The church is the kingdom of God, and the culture, that's government. We don't want to mess with the government, and the government needs to let us alone. Let's have the separation of church and state. That's what it's all about. That's the way it was 50 years ago, and I certainly went along with that because that was the era of no, I won't go, the Vietnam War era. That was the era when our service personnel came back, landed in the States, and had dirt thrown on them or spat on. I have a good friend that said he landed in San Diego. He didn't really expect a brass band to welcome him home from Vietnam, but he didn't expect dirt being thrown on him either. So that was back then. Government was looked down upon because they had lied to the public. Everything from body count to why we were in Vietnam in the first place. Many of you remember those days as clearly as I do. Now, government is looked down on for entirely different reasons. Our government is us. We are the government, and we don't like what we see, but it is we who are up there because we elect them. So we're in a real conundrum here, and this is why I think the church has plenty of answers for that ambivalence we feel toward government. They felt back 50 years ago when I first started. It's going to have to be up to the church. I am convinced to lift out of culture and the government those positive things we need to carry on in a positive way. Hence, Father's Day, extremely important for church and culture. Teach us to pray, the disciples said to Jesus. And what does he do? He gives the Lord's Prayer, Luke's version, the Sermon on the Plain. That's where this is happening. Over in Matthew, our customary Lord's Prayer, that is the Sermon on the Mount. So the Sermon on the Plain, we get a shortened edition of the Lord's Prayer. Now, we recently finished a series of sermons on the Lord's Prayer, so I didn't think we'd exegete that today. Rather, I would like to move past that a little bit with a persistent neighbor beating on the door. I need some bread. I've got gas. I don't have anything to feed them. Can you help me out? Go away. Go away. I'm in bed. My kids are in bed. I don't want to hear from you. But he beats on the door anyway. So the man, if he's going to get any sleep, he's going to have to produce some food, and that's what he did. Now, many of us take that to be that's what we need to do with God and the prayers, but that's not where Jesus is going with this. He begins to say, look, how many of you, if your child asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? How many of you, if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? No. You folks are evil, basically inside of you. That's what Jesus called it, evil folks. But you know how to be good to your kids. Don't you think the Heavenly Father knows how to be good to you? We are to ask God, and it will be given. We are to look for it, and we'll find it. We are to knock, and it will be opened to us. But it is the Holy Spirit that God will give. The Holy Spirit. Now, this is of critically important content here. Because we are co-creators with God. We're created in His image, folks. Now, if we're dialed in puppets or dialed in computer programs where all we've got to do is hit this key and hit return and voila, it's on the screen. No, that's not how God wants to operate with you and me. He gives us creativity. And so what He does is give us the Holy Spirit to inspire us to doing what needs to be done. I submit to us that God loves to sit back and say, all right, creatures, I created you in my image. I have a good time creating things, and don't we know it? Oh, look at the birds of the air sometimes. Have you ever seen more beautiful plumage than on certain birds? Fantastic. I think God had a great time creating the beauty, whether it's small like in a bird or the magnificent majesty of our countryside. And so he's created us with that same gift, and he gives us the Holy Spirit. All we've got to do is ask, and he will watch us operate. It's fun for God and fun for us to sit back and say, yeah, with God's help, I did that. But one thing we need to remember, and this is the goodness of the Father. Look, folks, God is good. God wants goodness, but God also is judge, and we are going to be held accountable. If we don't call on the Holy Spirit, if we don't ask God, we are going to be accountable, and we're going to have said to us, hey, you were in a pickle back when you lived on earth. Why didn't you ask me? I would have helped you. I want to suggest one reason we don't ask God for the Spirit is we're afraid we might get it. I've always been told, be careful what you pray for. You ever heard that? Be careful what you pray for, you just might get it. So the Holy Spirit may very well cause some discomfort. And we do like to be comfortable, don't we? Oh my. And we praise God for our comfort. But at the same time, if we understand God as Father, then we need to be in conversation with our Heavenly Father. Now, this is a concept I've shared with you on many occasions, how our culture is a Western civilization, and we take so many of our categories from the Greco-Roman culture. Our categories of God as being abstract, God being out there. Indeed, many of the founders of this country were deists, and they understood God as creator, but he's pretty well gone and stepped aside and allowed the creation to spin out, using their metaphor, as a clock unwinds. Not interfering with the causes of humankind, with the cares of humankind, with the issues of humankind, that is not found in the scripture. Not at all. How frequently, for example, did Jesus call upon the Father? Many, many times. Many times he called on the Father. Like in Luke 10. In that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. And then in Luke 22, he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is. And what does he say? He says, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. In John 17, the high priestly prayer, it starts out, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son. And then over in Galatians, we have Paul, St. Paul, saying, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, saying, Abba, Father. Now, Abba is an Aramaic word. It's not translated unless you translate Abba as daddy. What was your pet name for your father? In our home, our pet name was Popsy. That's what we call daddy. Our son called me Pops. What did he call? What do you call your dad? What did you call him? Dads, what are you called? You know, among other things. You see what I'm saying? Something very familiar. And that is exactly how Jesus said we are to address God as a familiar entity. Abba. St. Paul says the same thing in Romans. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, or Popsy, Father. Most of us are not comfortable with that. I see your faces beginning to wince when I say, address God like Popsy or Pops. But I didn't say that, Jesus did. And many times our culture keeps us from enjoying the childhood of being children of God, the Father Almighty. And that, I submit to you, is exactly where we need to go in order to find help and assistance from the things that put us down in this day and age. We can say, but Bill, that's in the New Testament. What about in the Old? I want to show you something. One of the most beautiful passages you will ever find is in the Old Testament, Hosea chapter 11. Here we go. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. The more they were called, the more they went away. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and burning offering to idols. Yet, it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of kindness, with bands of love, and I became to them as one who eases the yoke on their jaws, and I bent down to them and fed them. This is an Old Testament understanding of God. He showed Ephraim how to walk. See how beautiful that is? See how intimate that is? And we can go on and on and on in both Testaments and find references to the intimacy of God. We do not go there because we are Western civilization and our concepts of God are philosophical theology instead of biblical theology. And I implore all of us, read our scriptures. See what God wants to show us about dealing with the things that put us down. This past week has been quite a revelation for me and indeed for all of us. The day after that terrible, terrible slaughter in Charleston, I had Rotary. One of my dear friends from Church Street was there, and he and I have talked for years. And he was concerned about the Methodist Church. He's wondering what we're going to say and what we're going to do about this issue that shows up every 4 years that tears this and other churches apart. What's going to happen? I'm afraid the Methodist Church is just simply going to shatter, going to fall apart as other denominations have. And then he jumped a track and he said, Bill, I read that Billy Graham said that we have just a few more generations left, and then some country or person is going to come in and they're going to run us. We won't have self-government. So I looked at him and grinned. I said, well, Jim, you think we self-govern now? The rich people run the place. The Koch brothers, they call elections. Do you think you and I have any say one way or the other in government? It's all gone now. Well, I hadn't thought about that. Well, that's what's happened. Well, what are we going to do? Well, I think we probably need to look and see what God says. I think it's going to have to be up to God. What do you think, Jim? That's why today, Father's Day, if you really want to change how things are going, we have to start with ourselves. We have to start with ourselves and look at how we address God. Is God someone who talks to you, who walks with you, who tells you you are His? Is God like that? Needs to be. Is God someone you can address? Is God someone you can fuss at? Or wrestle with, read your Old Testament. See what happens when there's a great wrestling match among the patriarch and a night spirit. Let me go, it's getting morning, I need to go. Well, you have to bless me. And his name was changed to Israel. You know about Jacob. And in the changing of his name, he changed who he was. He also put his hip out of joint and he limped the rest of the day, rest of the year, the rest of his life. To wrestle with God is important. To call God Abba, Father, Pops, that's important. That is critical. Met with a bunch of preachers Friday night. Virginia and I drove over to North Carolina to Maggie Valley. There, about half a dozen of us graduated from Duke in 1968. Maybe eight of us. We were there and we were talking about the future of the church. Of course, we being retired, you know, it'll never be as good as when we were there. But nevertheless, we can laugh that one up our sleeve because we found it a wreck and we leave it a wreck. The church is of God. But what's interesting is that the church is changing. The hierarchical structure known as General Conference may not be in existence much longer because we can't afford it. How many churches are questioning payments to the superchurch? There are people here who give generously as long as none of it goes up to the district and the conference. Did you know that? Of course you knew that. You're doing it. But what does this mean for the church? And then something else happened. I read a lot. And all of a sudden, I found a book that greatly influenced our major professor, these guys. We had a tremendous time with a German professor. There were six of us admitted to the class because of courses we took and our grades, and five of us sat about the table Friday night. We said, wow. We'll talk some more. But what I found was that a person that influenced Professor Moltmann also influenced a man by the name of Richard Wilhelm, who went to China in the 19th century and helped translate into German, subsequently into English, a book of ancient Chinese philosophy known as the I Ching. I had a copy of that book, and there his name was, Richard Wilhelm. Wow! And the book that influenced Professor Moltmann, and the one I'm reading now, thanks to Kindle, with great excitement, Everyone Belongs to Christ. Folks, the Church of God is going to go beyond the denomination, and we're going to look at each other as we've been supposed to look at each other anyway, as brothers and sisters, and forget the denomination stuff. Whenever you see an individual, that person's your brother or sister in Christ, under the fatherhood of God. That's going to be the future of the church. It's where people will relate not as Baptist or Methodist or Church of Christ or Church of God or Presbyterian or Anglican. It's by being a straightforward human being. And this is how we're going to need to deal with that race issue that all of us feel so heavy about. Going to have to quit objectifying people, whether they be white or black or Latino. We're going to have to pray more strongly for people who say and put on Instagram, we need to have that happen more. Can you believe that? Or people who say, it's the preacher's fault, they should have had a gun and fired back. That is insanity, people. You need to see what Jesus would say rather than getting political and getting high on hate. This country, this world is so high on hate that it will destroy itself. That's our future. If someone does not step forward and say, I want to love as Jesus loves, because he is my brother. Jesus is my brother. We're adopted children of God. And if Jesus is the Son of God, and if we are adopted, then we don't just serve Jesus, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. This means that every black person is our brother or sister. Every one of them. We need to listen more. I want to challenge you. If you're really serious about the race issue in America, and it is all over the place, you know it as well as I do. We feel mighty good about ourselves because we let them play athletics. Yeah, they're better than we, and you know this movie, White People Can't Jump or White Men Can't Jump, that's true. And black men are everywhere, and women, but that's about as far as we want them to get. I want to challenge us. If you're serious about racism in America, find someone that you can meet and have lunch or dinner with. A person not of the same color as you are. Learn to love your brother, your sister, who is of a different color. Learn to hear them. Learn to pray with them. Now, there's not much we can do about Charleston, or about this fireman in Texas, or about the president of the NRA, and I'm not against guns. I've got some fantastic weapons at home, beautiful treasures. But people, we got a serious issue, and if we don't get serious about it, we're going to be destroyed. And we cannot sit back and say, oh, Jesus, where are you? Jesus is directing us. He didn't run for cover. He faced issues and turned it over to God. May God help us, because the challenges are in front of us. The direction is in front of us. Read that scripture. Learn to call God Father. Learn to be intimate with God. Learn to listen to God. And look at each other, regardless of race, and understand they're our brother and our sister in Jesus Christ. And we are to practice hospitality, period. It's not much, but it's a starting place. May God help us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our hymn of dedication is Stand Up for Jesus. It's number 514. There may be those individuals who would like to unite in the fellowship of the church, others who'd like to come about the altar and pray. There's plenty for which to pray, isn't there? If you come as we sing this final hymn, we'll be recognized or stand there.
Trust your own. gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there.
Stand up
for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To those who vanish evil, the crown of life shall be. They will be the
king of glory, shall reign eternally.
And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with all of you now and forevermore.